Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
This is Danielle Fischel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Former Predators captain Shea Weber played in his 1,000th NHL game last night with the Montreal Canadiens. Shea doing his thing still at 35 years old, 7 points in 10 games so far this season, including 2 goals. And Montreal, they look really, really good right now. Maybe the best team in the league at the moment. And Shea Weber still playing at a very high level, averaging almost 24 minutes a game, even at 35 years old. So playing really well. And look, as we know, there was a big trade David Poile made back in the summer of 2016. Shea Weber traded to Montreal. PK Subban comes into Nashville. And the early returns for the Predators couldn't have worked out a ton better than they ended up working out. I mean, you get to the Stanley Cup final in Subban's first year in Nashville. The next year, you win the President's Trophy, and Subban's playing at a borderline Norris Trophy level. So the first 2 years especially, really good for PK Subban in Nashville. He dealt with some injuries a little bit more in his final season in Nashville. Still was good, but not quite the same player that he'd been in the previous 2 seasons. And then, as we know, that was it for PK Subban in Nashville. He's traded to New Jersey. Cap space is freed up. And then Matt Duchene comes in, which, by the way, Matt Duchene joins us at 8:45 today here on the program. So looking forward to that. And that's got a lot of people, if you're a Predators fan, I saw this a ton yesterday on Twitter especially, looking back and saying, should the Predators have ever traded Shea Weber? Should they have let that guy go? Based on not only his play on the ice, but his leadership, his ability to kind of lead a room, and the aura that is Shea Weber. And that's the thing, Joe, that I think is really interesting to kind of think about in this discussion, because I was reading piece after piece, you know, from The Athletic yesterday, Sportsnet in Canada. They were kind of doing this retrospective of Shea Weber and his career and talking to a bunch of former teammates and opponents that he's had. And they always talk about, like, this aura around Shea Weber. And it's not really anything you could put your hand on. It's just that guy, he can lead. There's something about that dude that pushes you to be your best. And a lot of Predators fans were saying that they're missing that in the room now with Shea Weber out. So as you look back on it, did the Predators perhaps make a mistake by letting Shea Weber go? Because at the time, that trade was considered a pretty big win for the Nashville Predators.
I can't sit here and say something's not worth a discussion if people are talking about it, and you're right, they are. But let's say this is on a basketball court and this is brought up. This is an 8-year-old bringing this up, and I am an adult spiking it into the ground. I am spiking you into the ground with absolute no mercy. There's nothing. You absolutely make the trade. And you know what? You didn't quite win it, and you didn't beat Winnipeg the next year. But my question back is, are you sure that if you didn't do anything, that those outcomes would have been the same? That you would have gotten to the Stanley Cup final, that you would have won the President's Trophy and had a chance, had a team that was good enough to win it the next year?
It's a good question. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Shea Weber, he's dealt with some injuries the last 4 years since he's been gone. So it's not like he's been healthy the whole time. And that was really, when you look back at it, the reasoning for the trade is Shea Weber's last game in Nashville was a Game 7 loss to the San Jose Sharks.
I remember it well.
Where he looked really bad. I mean, that was the worst game I've ever seen Shea Weber play. And it came at the worst possible moment. And quite frankly, it looked like, you know, maybe he was starting to hit the decline in his career. Now, as we know, that's not really the case. He came back the next year in Montreal and was really, really good. Played at a high level for them. But
he got hurt. He got hurt for two seasons in Montreal. I think his first two seasons in Montreal were...
His first year, he played 78 games.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that year, but he...
The next year, he was very
next
banged
year,
up.
Gotcha. He was very banged up. And, I mean, you know, he comes back to his first year in Montreal, 42 points, 17 goals. Really good, really big part of that team and what they were able to do. But, I mean, that was the reasoning at the time. P.K. Subban is younger. His prime years are right now, and Shea Weber's are perhaps leaving him behind. And PK, like I said, comes in the first 2 years and is outstanding for the Predators. Could they have done the same thing with Shea Weber? Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they could have. Yes. But we know what they did. We know what why they said they did it, and we know what they did. And I mean, you can get going on a whole PK thing here too with some of the exaggerations of, you know, PK in a locker room. I think PK inspired a lot of eye rolls at times. I think PK, not only was he great those 2 years and great in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, great in the playoffs. I think he brought a certain, you know, you talk about aura with Shea Weber. I don't know what the word exactly is for
swagger.
PK. Yeah, a swagger. He was, I mean, they lost a big game or won a big game or something happened. Everybody went to PK. Now, I know... It would have been, to me, been a lot cooler if PK talked all the time to everybody. I mean, he picked his spots for when he liked to talk. But I think he set the tone in a lot of ways for that team. And yeah, you're right. Maybe they still do it with Shea Weber. And I guess right now they could still have him. And you know, who knows what it would look like. But when you have the outcome that you're looking for, you're 2 wins short. But basically, if anybody could have said. At that time, and now next year, you're going to the Cup Final. I mean, you have to sign up for that 100 out of 100 times, to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's interesting because you look back at the way the team was trending, even with Shea in the fold. I mean, you get bounced in the first round in 15 by Chicago. The next year, you win a dramatic Game 7 in Anaheim and then lose the Game 7 we talked about in San Jose. So, you've gotten Johansson in the fold to that point. And despite how you feel about Ryan Johansson now, he's playing very well at that point for the Nashville Predators. You felt great about the direction of the team, and then you get younger with Subban. I will say, it's interesting that, you know, kind of the way this trade was spun, and maybe spun's not the right word, but discussed at the time, was, all right, this is the longer-term option for the Predators with P.K. Subban in the fold. Shea, his game is deteriorating a little bit. And maybe you get to a position with him that you have to move on. And that contract, as we know, pretty hefty for Shea Weber. Now you think about it. I mean, look at Shea Weber right now and P.K. Subban right now. It's not even really close.
Yeah.
Which is it. That's the interesting part about this is in terms of longevity, playing at a high level, Shea Weber has sustained that longer than P.K. Subban has.
Yeah, he's come back from all these injuries. He's playing great. And, yeah, I don't know what is ahead for Subban, but it certainly looks like I think the Predators moved on from him at the right time.
Yeah.
And you could also look at this, like basically this is Shea Weber and now Matt Duchene is that guy, you know, in that spot, which, I mean, we could ask Matt Duchene later, you know, should you be here or Shea Weber right now, Matt? But, you know, it's funny. There's also, you are biased somewhat by what you see. So I got to town Game 6, my first day was Game 6 against Anaheim of 16. So, you know, I obviously covered all those games, watched Shea Weber during that brief time. And like you said, I mean, that game, you know, Pecorine smashing the stick in San Jose, and Shea Weber just had a brutal game. So in that little short period of time, you know, he wasn't great. They make the move, and to me, I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a brilliant move. look, there are other deals like this where you get a short-term payoff, but then you trade. And a lot of times it's not like quite like this. It's like a younger player. I go way back to the 80s. The Detroit Tigers got Doyle Alexander, and they traded John Smoltz to the Braves. And no one knew. I mean, Smoltz, who's this? Some prospect. Well, Doyle Alexander helped the Tigers win the division, and I still will say the guy went like 10-1. You got what you wanted there. Okay, yeah, the Tigers would have loved to have Smoltz all through the 90s, but you know that's always a risk when you trade an asset like that. To me, like it's a short-term payoff. You're right. The interesting thing about this is you thought it would end up giving you a good player for longer than you expected at the time. So I guess from that perspective, you can look at it and say, gosh, Shea Weber has outlasted PK. But again, those 2 years with PK, I don't know if you have the exact same thing if Weber's in that spot. Maybe I'm wrong.
Think of how many trades David Poile has made, big ones, in the last 6-7 years that ended up being short-term payoffs. But you look back now and you're like, man, that player that he traded is still doing really well or did well beyond the player that he traded for.
Look at Patrick Hornquist right
Patrick
now.
Hornquist for James Neal. James Neal, short-term payoff. Patrick Hornquist still producing. Ryan Johansson for Seth Jones. Ryan Johansson, short-term payoff. Seth Jones looks to be the better player for the long term.
Would you do that deal over?
No. You got to – I mean, he was the – I mean, it's a similar discussion for PK,
too. It's a tough one. Yeah.
I mean, he's – Ryan Johansson was their best player in the run to the final. It really wasn't close. He was their best player.
I mean, I'd do it 100 out of 100 times. You got the pay. I mean, I know, obviously, if it's a lot easier to say that if you get the cup. But, I mean, yeah, and plus, it's not like their defense corps is struggling right now with talent. But, yeah, it's a good point, though. I mean, a lot of those trades, and, you know, we'll see with Fiala. We'll see what he
that could turn
doing.
Out to be yet another one where Granlund short-term payoff really wasn't what you thought it would be, and then Fiala goes on and could turn out to be a 5-10 year goal scorer for the Wild.
There's another interesting part of this discussion that we'll discuss when we come back that I think is very fascinating, and it has to do with the leadership. I mean, we hear that all the time from fans. How much are they missing Shea Weber in that department? We'll discuss that when we come back, but first, I have got a word from FanDuel, and you could celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when Kansas City takes on Tampa Bay. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February the 7th. I've been betting football on FanDuel all season long. It's been so easy to use, fast withdrawals, odds boost and specials, and live betting. So you can have, you know, first quarter of the Super Bowl. You want to jump in on the action? You're able to do that at that time. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ROB to get started. That's ROB. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Shea Weber and PK Subban trade. Shea Weber reaches 1,000 games yesterday. Montreal playing very well. Shea Weber still playing very well for the Montreal Canadiens. How many Nashville Predators fans would revisit that trade and keep Shea Weber here in Nashville? And Joe, it's kind of fascinating to watch how the opinions on this trade have moved. I mean, you revisit this discussion a year and a half, 2 years into it. I'm not sure if there's a person alive that would have thought Montreal won this trade, outside of maybe Mark Bergevin, the general manager for the Canadiens that made the trade. I mean, PK Subban was playing at a Norris Trophy level. The Preds had just gotten to the Cup final. They had won the President's Trophy the year after that, and things were going really well for the Nashville Predators. And Shea Weber had a great first season in Montreal. His second season, very short, lots of injuries involved. And really, it's his next two seasons. I mean, 26 games, 58 games the next regular season. It took him some time to really get his health back and get to playing at an elite level again. But he's done that last year, another very good season with the Canadiens, and so far off to a great start this year. the part that Predators fans, I think, bring up more than anything now is the leadership aspect of this. And you and I have had this discussion about Roman Josi and being a captain in the NHL and how I think at times that that's heavily overrated. But I will say, like, just watching the respect around the league from Shea Weber, you could tell that that dude as a captain is very effective and people follow what he does. Do you think the Predators are missing him from that standpoint and maybe not having him in the room as a leader and not having a guy with him like Mike Fisher that was in the room is really affecting this team in a negative way?
No.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I get it. I'm not saying leadership doesn't matter. It does. I think Roman Josi is a very respected guy. And I don't – look, if you said, okay, here's this guy and here's this guy, door A and door B, pick which one you would want to be your captain. And it's Shea Weber and Roman Josi, I'll go Shea Weber. I feel like he's got a little intimidation thing to him, whether he's – and again, it's funny because I wrote about this last year and talked to Shea Weber, and he was like, yeah, pretty much he's exactly what I was like. You know, they're really good friends. But I think we've talked about this. It's a little bit misunderstood with him, like he's this screaming, raging Hulk
Yeah.
who's throwing guys against lockers and demanding. I mean, look at this Nashville Predators team, watch them play, and tell me that there's some raging captain in there that all of a sudden it's going to be way different. I guess you could say, hey, maybe you take a few less, you know, dumb penalties or something. But it's what they are, what they are. And I think you're right that whole thing with captain is a little bit, you know, this is the person who talks to the officials.
Yeah.
And yes, this is the person who stands up in the room and speaks. But you better have good relationships and good leadership across your locker room. And how many teams out in this league right now have a captain who is that kind of what we, you know, the stereotypical big screaming, yelling, holding everyone accountable captain?
It doesn't happen a ton anymore. Not in today's NHL. Like, every now and then, do you need somebody to come in there and really get after you? Maybe, yeah. And I'm sure at times that happens with Josi throughout the season. Just because you don't see Josi, you know, on the ice screaming at his teammates doesn't mean behind closed doors there aren't some passionate things happen. Like, I know how competitive Roman Josi is. I've been around that guy. I know how competitive Shea Weber is. It's pretty similar. I mean, I get it. You're talking about this 6'4", 235-pound Canadian guy who looks like he lives in the woods in Shea Weber, and then you've got the GQ model from Switzerland in Roman Josi, and you think, well, how could those guys possibly be on the same wavelength in terms of their leadership style? But it's not that different. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're exactly the same because they're not, but it's not that different from what Shea Weber was here. Now, physically, like on the ice, is Roman Josi as imposing as Shea Weber? No, I'm not sure anybody other than like Zdeno Chara is as imposing as Shea Weber is on the ice. But other than that, there's not a ton of difference in the way they lead. Neither guy says a ton. It's all about what they do. And I think players follow that.
Yeah. And so Roman Josi just won the Norris. He had an incredible season. He was great last year. I think you're right. I think he had – I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd be – surprised to see like Josi screaming or anything like that, but you know, he had conversations with the group, with individuals. He does the job that a captain does, and it still was a very erratic up and down team. If you put Shea Weber in that last year's team and just say and take all the captain duties and just give them to Shea, because yeah, Shea on the ice, okay, no, there's something that's different.
Yeah,
that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about leadership. So if you put Shea Weber in his shoes and just give him all those conversations and all the talks were Shea Weber instead of Roman Josi and everything else is the same, I don't think there's a single game difference there, you know? And again, that kind of goes to a little how we overrate that position. But I think Josi is a guy who set – I think that's probably your best bet as a captain is you hope it's a great player who does everything right, who shows up early, who works harder, you know, works as hard as anyone, all that stuff. And I think that's Josi. If you have a roster that's not complete, if you have an inconsistent team, if you have stars who aren't, you know, producing, what's a captain doing there?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean can Yossi get to Johansson and, you know, throw him against the locker?
Okay. I'm going to doubt that happens.
Yeah. And if it did, what would it do?
Probably not much. Probably would cause more harm than good at that point. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, thanks for having this topic. I love Weber and Subban. I think they're both great players. I think that at the time that the trade was made, it was better for the Predators to have Subban because in previous playoffs, Weber was a little bit slow, people getting around him. I think that Subban was a much better fit for the style of play that they had then. I don't think that they would have made the Cup final if Weber had been there in place of Subban. But now, obviously, Weber is playing much better than Subban. But at the time, I think it was the right trade. I want to ask you guys this before I get off. Eklund on HockeyBuzz.com had a really interesting blog yesterday about Duchene and Johansson, basically saying that he felt that Hines should bench both of those guys and let the younger players in just to send a message. Did you see that blog, and what do you think about that?
Hey, thanks, Bob. We'll talk about that. I mean, look, they've kind of gone down that road before last year with Hines and taking away ice time. And look, I don't know how much good at this point benching players is going to do. And number one, like, again, I view those two guys very differently. I think Matt Duchene's doing all the right things. Like, he's not scoring, and that's not acceptable. Like, he's got to put the puck in the back of the net. That's what he's paid to do. But Matt Duchene, I think, is playing pretty well. I think benching him sends the wrong message.
Yeah, you don't punish someone because they're snake-bitten. And again, right, like you said, you have to produce, but nothing he's doing or not doing deserves punishment.
Right. Now, you got to bear down and put it in the net. I mean, that's what you're paid to do, and I realize that. But I'd probably be a little bit more willing to have that conversation with Ryan Johansson. But even him, like, at this point, I don't know what that solves. You've either got to let him play his way out of this, or, quite frankly, realize at the end of this that maybe it's just not going to work and move on from there. But I think the point of letting some younger guys come in and play is a good one. I mean, Tolvanen, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. This team needs offense, and if you've got younger guys that may be able to provide that, probably time to start giving some of them a shot to see what you can do in that area. But I don't know if I would do that at the expense of, you know, Duchene and Johansson's ice time. I think you've got to let them see if they can dig their way out of this. And Bob brought up another great point there in terms of, like, Shea Weber and his speed in the playoffs the year before. I think, to his credit, that's been something that he's really worked on. Like, and he talked about that yesterday in his press conference, kind of looking back at his career. He switched from more of, you know, strength training and trying to be this mountain of a man to adapting, to playing the speed game and trying to get faster and trying to be quicker. And I think he is. Now, he's 35, so I don't know, you know, what his top level of speed is going to be from now on, but I do think he has evolved in that regard. Like, he's not a burner. Like, he's not Roman Yossi out there, but you're not seeing Shea Weber just getting skated around anymore. Like, to Bob's point, I think he was at times in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I agree. We'll never know. I mean, certainly, it's not like it's crazy to think that the Preds could have made that run with Weber in place of Subban. But let's remember how clutch Subban was. He wasn't just the guy who was out there, you know, he'd guarantee a win, or he'd get into it with Crosby and all that stuff. But he was making huge plays, including a goal that should have counted that maybe swings the outcome of the last series, by the way.
I'm not sure if there has ever been a pairing that's played better defensively than Subban and Ekholm did in that time in the playoffs. Not league history, but with the Predators. With the Predators, I'm not sure there's ever been a pairing that's been better.
They were incredible, and they got the matchups, and they were absolutely physical. I mean, it was something to behold. So you gotta, and again, Subban was run up for the Norris, was that his second year, right?
Second year.
Yeah. I mean, those 2 years, you sign up for that. Yes, you thought you were signing up for a longer term, and I get that, but I think you got exactly what you were looking for there.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Tennessee Volunteers. First, on the basketball front, another loss last night for Tennessee. How concerned are we about this group moving forward? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is Danielle Fishel.
And Ryder Strong from Pod Meets World.
When you have 5 and 7-year-old boys, I can promise you they love superheroes.
Oh, it never goes away. Indy is 11 years old and he's obsessed with comics, cartoons, video games, all of it.
Adler and Keaton both have Spider-Man costumes, and if anything says Marvel on it, they are in.
Same. Which is why we love Lingo Kids. They have Marvel Spider-Man activities that are totally age-appropriate.
And safe. Made just for the little ones.
Plus, Disney's Moana, Frozen, Zootopia, all the characters your kids already love, and a few you're secretly hoping they'll get into.
I just load up the iPads with Lingo Kids before a trip, and with over 4,000 interactive activities, songs, and shows, it keeps their attention for hours.
Download Lingo Kids for free or go all in with Lingo Kids Plus for even more incredible content.
Choose the yearly plan and save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play.
Lingo Kids, everything kids love.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.